What do we talk about? I'll pull a brother anger. Well, I guess I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Oh, yeah. His love is perfected in us. And how would God perfect His love in us? Anybody? How would He do that? So deed is love, right? But how's He going to perfect His love in us? By doing what? Sorry? Yeah. In the form of people. It's important that we... Now, of course, there are no unlovely people in the world. But God wants to perfect His love in us. Guess what? The title of today's message is Perfect Love. Here in 1 John chapter 4 again, starting in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So perfect love. Let's pray. Lord, use Your word in our hearts this morning as we continue on this beautiful theme of Your love. And Lord, may we just get a hold of some great truths. May the Holy Spirit do a work in our hearts that would help us be more effective servants of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Meet with us. We just give You this service. Pray You'll be glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've seen this chapter is about love. As I mentioned last night, 27 times in one chapter of the Bible, the word love is mentioned. 1 John chapter 4. And we found out yesterday that the source of love is, anybody know? God. Because God is love, right? Verse 8. God is love. God doesn't just give love, God is love. And God manifested His love through action. By doing what? Sending His Son, Calvary. Calvary is the manifestation of God's love in its most beautiful form, and that brings us the gospel. And we can tell the world, God so loves you because God did something for you. God gave His only begotten Son for you. See how that works? And so God then gave us that as the basis for the manifestation of our love, which God wants us to emulate. He wants us to pass it on to others. And we saw last night that He wants to perfect His love in us. The goal, as we see in this passage, three times we see the word perfect in these five verses. Did you see that? Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. Verse 18, it says, where am I? Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear of torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So three times in this little passage, the word perfect and love are together. God wants us to have a perfect love, so we need to find out what that is. And He's given us a good foundation to understand how this is possible. He starts there in verse 17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. So again, it's possible for us to have perfect love because we are Jesus, and Jesus is us. Which is very profound, isn't it? Hard to explain to a child. But it's true. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. The day we're born again is the day we become part of Jesus. And therefore, when we love others, it's actually Jesus loving others through us. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if we could, verse 30. And I want you to see that in Jesus, we have the capacity to love as God wants us to love, to have a perfect love. Notice 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Notice, He has made unto us these things because we are in Him. So, yes, it is possible to love the way God wants us to love, to have a perfect love, because Jesus can do it through us in the person of who? The Holy Ghost. So you see, the entire Trinity is involved in this thing. You've got God the Father manifesting His love by sending God the Son to die in our place. And then God the Holy Ghost, when we accept the gospel and believe on Jesus Christ, indwells us and makes it possible now for us to manifest that same love to the world. The love that the Father sent the Son and the Son died for, now the Holy Ghost can spread that love to the world through us, His temples. It's really beautiful the way God laid it out. So now let's understand what needs to happen. Verse 18, "There is no fear in love." So it looks like, since love is action, we've already laid that groundwork, that the opposite of loving the way God wants us to love is being afraid to do the right thing. It's fear. Because God says there is no fear in love. So if there's no fear in love, then that must mean that we, to love biblically, there's some things we won't be afraid to do. Right? Now, the Bible makes it very clear that a Christian doesn't fear. Not if he's surrendered to the Lord. Most of you know 2 Timothy 1:7. "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Oh, there's that word love again. Just kind of slipped in there. Did you see that? A lot of you probably know 2 Timothy 1:7 by heart. "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love." So the spirit of, He's not the spirit of fear, He's the spirit of power. His main mission is that we get the gospel out and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But of power and of love. Isn't that something? So the Holy Ghost is the spirit of love. Not in a charismatic la-la-la sense, but in the sense that God wants His love to the world. And He uses the Holy Ghost to do it through us. So if love is action, then we therefore are not afraid to do the right thing, which is to love through our actions to others. So if we're going to love biblically, then we're not going to be afraid to, for example, tell the truth. How about that? Let's look at Ephesians 4:15. Say, what's that have to do with loving? Well, God says it has quite a bit to do with loving. And I'm not just talking about being honest. I'm talking about speaking the truth to one another at all times, no matter what the situation, marriage, home life, brothers and sisters in Christ, anybody, when we need to say something that needs to be said, we're not afraid to say it if it's the truth. And it might hurt sometimes. Notice Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth," what? "In love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." God says, speaking the truth in love, if we truly love biblically, then we're not afraid to speak the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. We can all attest to that, right? We are not afraid to do it. Remember when Jesus said to love our enemies? Is that something that we might be afraid to do? It is. He said, love your enemies. What does that mean? Bless them, be kind to them, do good things for them. We could be afraid to do that. We could be afraid of the repercussions, be afraid of rejection, whatever. But in perfect love, there is no fear. God already told us that. So if there's fear there to do the right thing for our enemies, that fear isn't coming from God. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So that fear is coming from someone else. And it's not God. We will do the right thing. We will tell the truth when we need to. How many verses in Proverbs are there about rebuking our friend? Think about it. How many times does David in Psalms talk about what a blessing it was that his friend rebuked him when he needed it? And he said that was more powerful, more genuine love than someone who flatters when you don't need it. Love means you're not afraid to always love in what you say and do, and to do it no matter what. So let's take it a step further. How many Christians are afraid to witness to the lost? Why would we witness to the lost? Because God loves them. Right? God so loved the world. How many times do we quote that? If God loves them and God wants them to hear about His love that was manifested through Calvary, and He wants the Holy Ghost to tell them about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, that He wants to use us to do it, if we're afraid to do it, that fear didn't come from God. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Where's that boldness come from? The same Holy Ghost that wants to get the love to the world. So you see what he means when he talks about perfect love casteth out fear. How about in the home life? The Bible says husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That's pretty amazing. When you think about how much Christ loved the church, that's how husbands are to love their wives. A lot of husbands are afraid to love their wives like that because they're afraid to open themselves up that much. They're afraid of the repercussions, whatever. They're afraid of it won't be reciprocated. But none of that should matter. There's no fear in love. A husband who wants to spread the love of God in his home, he's going to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He's not going to be afraid. Women aren't going to be afraid to love their husbands, as they're told to in Titus 2:4. Children aren't going to be afraid to love their parents. Parents aren't going to be afraid to love their children. And when I'm using this word love, you know what I'm talking about now. Action. Give you a good verse, Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. There God equated loving with action again. He says, if you truly love your children, you will chasten them. I like that word, betimes. Whenever they need it, which is usually a lot. Some kids more than others. Right, Robin? Because did you see the first part of the verse? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. What a thing. Because we have been so duped by Hollywood into thinking that love is what we think and feel rather than what we do. But our Creator says that if you do not use the rod on your child, you hate your child. Look it up, Proverbs 13:24. Our Creator said that. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, hate's a heavy word, isn't it? But you see, God's not talking about what we feel. Well, of course I love my children. I love them infinitely. Good for you. You have great feelings for your child. We all do. But God says, if you do the wrong thing for your child, that's hate. If you do the right thing for your child, that's love. Because love is action. And so a parent is not afraid to do the right thing. A husband and a wife are not afraid to do the right thing. We're not afraid to tell the lost about Jesus because there is no fear in love. So what we find is perfect love is the absence of fear. Let's look at Psalm 27, if we could. It's a decision. to finally cast out the fear to do the right thing all the time in regards to loving one another. Look at Psalm 27 and verse 1. This is just an example. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now we could go on all day looking at scriptures of God telling us not to be afraid. Think about why God would do that so often. Because when we fear, it is the opposite of faith. What did he tell Joshua before they went into the promised land? Be strong and of a good courage. What does he say? Be not afraid. Isaiah, all through Isaiah, he says, fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, fear not. All through the Psalms, David says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I will not fear. I will not fear. Why do we have all these verses about not being afraid? Because when we fear, we're not trusting God. Because isn't our God infinitely powerful? Can't He do anything? Can't He protect us? Can't He always do what's best for us? Of course. So when we fear, we're not trusting God. And when we're not trusting God, we're essentially insulting God in a way, if you think about it. Because doesn't the Bible say, without faith it's impossible to please Him? In Hebrews 11:6. So when we fear to do the right thing, and now we're specifically talking about love, when we're afraid to just do the right thing in all situations, to love each other by what we say and do, when we're afraid to do that, we are not believing that our God is powerful enough to do the right thing in those situations through us. We are that blockade of getting the love from heaven through the Holy Ghost, through us, to others. We stop it with fear. So perfect love is the absence of fear. Let's look at another example in Acts chapter 4. In verse 29, this is the disciples, and they had just been told by the religious leaders that they were not to be preaching the gospel anymore. Now, the religious leaders were afraid to imprison them or kill them because too many people were excited about the gospel at this point, and they didn't want to end up with a riot. And so instead, they just called the disciples in and said, no more. You guys aren't allowed to preach anymore. Just please, whatever you do, stop preaching about Jesus. That's what happens here in verse 20. Here was Peter's answer. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So we can't help it. We have to preach because that's what we're motivated to do by our own testimony of salvation and by our love for the lost. And so they went and Peter got to speak to them some more. He, of course, had quoted some Old Testament scriptures, which was very convenient since he was speaking to Jews. And notice here toward the end, verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They were threatened with their very lives. And what did they pray for? They didn't pray for protection. They prayed for the absence of fear. Didn't they? That's what they prayed for. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Isn't that awesome? Lord, we just don't want to be afraid. Now, there's another place where they were actually beaten, which is where I thought I was going. And it's not where I am. And it says they Oh, here we go. Go to chapter 5. That's where I thought I was going. But this is another great example. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles, and then just this little tiny phrase, and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go, and they departed from the presence of the council, crying that it hurt so much. That's what most Christians would do. But it says, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. It sounds like they had gotten a hold of biblical love. They weren't afraid. They wanted people to hear about Jesus. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost wanted people to hear about Jesus. And he still does. It's because that's why Jesus died on the cross. And so they had gotten a hold of this, and the Holy Ghost was in control of their lives. So they weren't afraid. It didn't matter. They weren't afraid. If you want to kill us, kill us. If you want to beat us, beat us. But we have to tell you about Jesus. That is perfect love. The absence of fear. And that's what God tells us here in verse 18 of 1 John 4. Perfect love casteth out fear. He goes on to say in verse 18, because fear hath torment. In other words, fear cripples. Fear stops us from doing the right thing. You know, most people that have serious emotional problems, it's spawned by some kind of a fear when you get to the root of it. Fear does have torment. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth the trust in the Lord shall be safe. Jesus says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. In other words, man can't do anything to our soul. He can kill our body, he can beat our body, he can do whatever he wants to our body, but man can't do anything to our soul. He can't control whether or not our soul goes to heaven or hell. Only God can do that. And so Jesus went on to say in that same verse, rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's in Matthew 10:28. So God has defined for us perfect love now. Now we know he wants to perfect his love in us. We learned that last night. Now we understand what perfect love is. It is the complete absence of fear to do right in all situations. When the fear comes, the love's not perfect. And that's our opportunity to trust God. Say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to do the right thing. And the Holy Ghost is there to make it possible. Because the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. That word love, you can't get away from it in the New Testament, can you? Look at verse 19 of 1 John 4. We love him because he first loved us. That's the foundation of it all, isn't it? It all started with Calvary. Why do we love God? Because God loved us. Why do we love others? Because God loved us. Why do we treat others biblically? Why do we do the right thing with the absence of fear, with perfect love in all situations? Because God loved us so much that he was willing to give us eternal life, a gift that we didn't deserve, willing to give us a mansion in heaven that we don't deserve, because God initiated that perfect love on our behalf. We have now partaken in that perfect love by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and receiving the Holy Ghost in our lives. Now we have the blessed opportunity to spread it by doing right to others at all times. And then he finishes here in verse 20. I love this verse. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. God's using this word liar. He says that if you hate your brother, and I believe he's talking about Christians there, not your physical brother, because we all know brothers fight all the time, and they still love each other. Right, Brad? Do you never fight with your brothers? Never did? I figured, yeah. I know me and my brother, that's all we ever did. But God says if we hate our brother and claim to love God, we're a liar. You know why God can say that? Because love is action. And when we are hating our brother or sister, that's an all-encompassing term, brother, that means we are not treating them biblically. We're either not forgiving them, we're showing some sort of bitterness toward them, we're abusing them in some way in our behavior, or maybe our words or whatever. But while we're doing that, wait a minute, where's the love supposed to come from for that person? From God. So now we're giving them hate instead of love. God isn't doing that. So we're not loving God, because one of the ways that we love God is by spreading His love to the world. And again, not in the charismatic la-la sense, but in touching lives for Jesus, reaching the lost with the gospel, being a blessing to one another at all times, always loving one another as Christ loved the church. That is God's way of saying, if you're not doing the right thing, then you're not loving God. For he that loveth, the verse goes on to say, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Man was created in the image of God. And a born-again believer is Jesus. Think about that. You know, and when we read about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about that we have to examine ourselves, but it also says, there's a phrase in there that says, not discerning the Lord's body. I don't believe that's talking about Jesus' literal body hanging on the cross. I think it's talking about one another. Not discerning the Lord's body. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we need to make sure that we are right with our brothers and sisters. That's why we need that self-examination. And if we're not, then we're not discerning the Lord's body. And when we're not loving each other, we're not loving God, because each other is Jesus. So you understand what God is saying now? We are Jesus. We are a body in Christ. The day we were saved, we were placed into the body of Christ. So when we hate a brother or sister, we're hating the body. And the body is Jesus. So that's why God can say, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Because through your actions and your behavior, you're actually hating God. Because you're hating the body, which is Jesus. And that's what he's saying. So, very basic, isn't it? And yet, very profound and very tough sometimes. God wants a perfect love in our Christian lives, which is the complete absence of fear. So you'll know when you've reached perfect love in a given situation or your home life or whatever, when there is complete absence of fear of doing what you're supposed to do. You'll know you've reached that stage of perfect love when it comes to your interaction with the lost, because there will be no fear in telling them about your Savior. Jesus isn't afraid to tell them. The Holy Ghost isn't afraid to tell them. So if we're afraid to tell them, we're the problem. If we aren't afraid, that's perfect love for that situation. So perfect love, as it says here in verse 18, casteth out fear. At the end of verse 18, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So God has defined for us what perfect love is: absence of fear. And what did we learn last night? God wants to perfect His love in us. So just to be reminded one last time about love being action, let's go to 1 John 3 again. And just look at this verse one more time, because this verse nails it home. Verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Look at this phrase. How dwelleth the love of who? God in him. The love of God? Yeah. It's the love of God that meets other people's needs. When we have a need and a believer meets it, God met it. Amen? Through that believer. Most of us know Luke 6. Can anybody quote Luke 6:38? We're at family camp. We can be less formal. Does anybody know it by heart? No mistakes, as I say in Sparks and Awana? Nobody? It starts with give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now I intentionally flew over a particular phrase. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men. We quote that verse all the time. Give and it shall be given unto you. And we're thinking, yep, when I give, God's going to give to me. And that's true. But the verse says, shall men give unto your bosom. Because when God meets our needs, He does it through others. He doesn't drop it out of the sky. He doesn't send a little drone to your front porch and drop it there and say, here's your Luke 6:38 reward for doing the right thing. No. He does it through others. And that's what he's saying here in 1 John 3:17. And then look at verse 18 again. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So God wants our love to be action. And the absence of doing that means there's fear. And if there's fear, our love isn't made perfect yet. God's got some work to do in our lives. Perfect love. That's what God wants. He had perfect love when He sent Jesus. Jesus had perfect love when He died on the cross. We received perfect love the day we were saved. The person of the Holy Ghost moved in and made His temple in our lives. So far, all those steps, it's all perfect. Then it reaches us and we mess it up. God wants that perfect love to carry on. Meeting the needs of others, being the blessing to others, always treating each other in a biblical way, as God commands us to. That's love. And He wants us to be perfect, no fear. If there's fear, we got work to do. Amen? Let's pray.